Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
One thing maybe the audience doesn't know about me, I literally can't lie. Like, I can't lie. I'm incapable of lying, except to myself. I will lie to myself. And maybe you listening to this are the same way. It is very easy to not let someone else down, but you'll be the first one to not roll out of bed in the morning when you said you were going to, not eat the way you say you're going to, not get the stuff done you said you were going to. You're okay letting yourself down, but you're not okay letting anyone else down.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And more importantly, happy fucking birthday to me, by the way, John. Did you know it was my birthday?
What?
Did you know
happy it was birthday, my birthday?
Let me hit some more balloons here. Balloons, fireworks. It is BK's birthday. It's a big one, honestly. And I didn't think this number would affect me. I don't know if it's necessarily the number. I turned 40 today. As you know, we're recording this a little early, but you know, it's 40.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, midlife crises are fucking real, John. Did you go through anything when you were 40?
Not
a fucking thing. John is a robot, folks. In case you're wondering, John has no emotion. He struggles with nothing.
People know that's not true because they've heard me rant about all sorts of random shit if they've been listening to this podcast long enough. No. I look, honestly, I thought about this. I'm a little bit ahead of Ben for anybody who's listening. I turned 42 a month ago, roughly, by the time this comes out. And, you know, I thought about this when I was coming up to 40. I remember thinking about it and thinking, well, isn't, you know, this supposed to be like where I'm, you know, the man generally has the midlife crisis and looks around for other things in life to satisfy the massive hole that's inside of him, blah, 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 or whatever the fuck it is, or the realization that it's all over and it's a downward hill from here. And none of that happened. And I think a large part of that for me, and I don't want to get off the topic here, but it's just like, I'm very happy with where my life's at the moment. I'm challenged. I'm doing things that I find fulfilling. I have a great family. Close family and all of these sort of things. And I think like, I don't want anything to change. Like, and I feel great. Like, health wise, I'm probably healthier, fitter, stronger than I was when I was 30. So like I passed 40 and was like, I don't feel any fucking different about anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still feel like I'm, you know, 35 or whatever. So that was my story. What's your story about turning 40?
there's a soundbite on this radio show I like where it's like, oh, good for you. That's all I was thinking the whole fucking time. I don't want to call it a midlife crisis. It was just more like a realization of like, you know, if you use the average lifespan of a man, it's about halfway, actually a little further than halfway. Right.
Yep.
I want to say it's like 75 is
77
going downward, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
But you know, you're roughly halfway and I think there's some areas in my life that I'm not being as congruent as I would like to be. So my friend, his name's Scott DeMoulin. He was a former master trainer for Tony Robbins. He sat down and did a one-on-one with me, basically doing one of Tony's events that dives into your belief system. And we spent all day in the suite in the Vidara. Great room, by the way. At the top of the Vidara. And it's just like asking me questions of, you know, what do you believe in? And I there was a lot of stuff that I believed that I was afraid to say because I'm not doing it. And so one thing maybe the audience doesn't know about me, I literally can't lie. Like, I can't lie. I'm incapable of lying, except to myself. I will lie to myself. And maybe you listening to this are the same way. It is very easy to not let someone else down, but you'll be the first one to not roll out of bed in the morning when you said you were going to, not eat the way you say you're going to, not get the stuff done you said you were going to. You're okay letting yourself down, but you're not okay letting anyone else down. And so in that process of, working through those belief systems with Scott, I noticed some incongruencies that I believed strongly had very strong beliefs about things in life. And I wasn't taking those same actions and it didn't really hit me that day, but as I'm approaching this, whatever halfway point, I'm starting to really see it of like, I've lived 40 years one way. What would it be like to live 40 a different way? And I promised John I would not get emotional on this episode, so I'll digress a little bit as I meander my way back. But I do want to be a little bit vulnerable of like, no matter where you're at in this journey, there's still going to be shit you want to work on. So John might be in this perfectly happy place. He, you know, he painted you fucking utopia for y'all. But honestly, I've been dealing with a lot of anxiety lately as I feel like there's a step function change that I can make in two different areas of my life where I won't have regrets later on in life if I make these changes. And I've lived, again, I've lived mostly one way in my life. You know, certainly for 30 years, I was a fucking dumbass. I was told as a kid, you're not normal. Why can't you be normal? Which made me rebel into, you know, not good choices, really. You know, drank a lot, did a lot of drugs, got in a lot of trouble, made a lot of poor decisions, kind of rebounded from that, stopped drinking, found business at 30, then spent 10 years of saying, well, I'll fucking show you by being great at business. I'll show you all, you know, all these people that told me I wasn't normal. I'm going to go build my not normal life and then be happy. And then I got here and it's just like, there's still some changes I want to make internally, right? Like that I'm not being congruent with my belief system. And I think that revolves around, health for sure. And then the other one is honestly business. And this might sound terrible to some people listening. I am nowhere near giving as much effort into my business life as I think I'm capable of. And I mean, not even close. Like I think there is a literal step function difference in what I can create in this world. I don't think I can go on without knowing if I can do it.
Yeah.
You take over. I don't want to cry. I told you I wouldn't cry.
No. Yeah, I think, and I don't want to go back and like say that, you know, what I was saying before, like everything's perfect over here. It's just, all I'm saying is it didn't get any worse when I turned 40. But look, I think, you're right, but at the same time, I mean, it's amazing to know that, you know, at that age or that point in your life, that you're having these realizations, that you're actually thinking about it and being proactive about, you know, whether you make the changes that that you're probably identifying that you need to make. I think even like putting yourself in the room with somebody where you can talk about these things and make these realizations, like that's way more than most people ever do, right? Most people will get to this point in life and like they literally don't make any changes from here. Like become convinced that, yeah, this is as far as I'm going to get. This is it for me. Now I'm just going to go on that slow, that literally, I mean, it does happen for people, that slow downward trajectory. I'm sitting here drinking, I enjoy, you know, my health slowly declining, and that's just the way it is. I'm just accepting that's the rest of my life. Whereas you've got to the midpoint of your life. I mean, you know, like I've known you for what, like 8 years, 9 years, something like that. Like the difference in you between when I first met you and now, like, I mean, you're probably underselling yourself a little bit, I think. Like, I get that you want to go a lot further and that you can see things that you can change. But I think it's important as well to don't underestimate what you've already done. Like, because it's a massive change. Like, I mean, you know, people that go through something like, you know, everybody who's listening to this podcast, who's listened to it for a long time, they know your story. I mean, your story is still like my favorite, one of my favorite success stories, the Walmart forklift guy but not just the Walmart forklift guy, like the very unhealthy Walmart forklift guy, you know, like you said, background of like drinking and partying, and it's very similar to mine as well, by the way, in my 20s and teen years and all of that sort of thing. Like just the person you are today, like it's very different. Like the way you talk about things, the way you think about things. And I think that, you know, that's such a bigger jump than most people will make in their life. But then as well, getting to the point in your life where you're at and saying, well, I've still got much more to do and I'm open to that. You know, that's such a massive achievement in and of itself. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to like downplay it. That's certainly not what I'm trying to do. I have been in rooms where they're like, but look where you are. It's amazing. And like, I personally can't stand that, only because the delta between where I am and what I know I'm capable of, is, I don't want to say is so great, but it's like, it's given me great anxiety as I approach this mile marker of seeing the chasm there between. Cool. It's great that I've gotten here, and I'm very happy about that. I don't want to downplay that. But if I don't go find out what I'm capable of, that's going to really suck. And like that anxiety has been absolutely destroying me.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, do you have an idea, a plan? Like, how do you start making that jump from then where you are today, which... Like, and I think there is points in your life journey as opposed to just your business journey where you kind of feel like you're starting again. Do you know what I mean? Like, hearing you talk now, you're kind of like, well, now I'm at zero because I've still got this far that I think I can go. Right. And it's kind of like you're starting at zero again and you're saying, right, well, now I want to push myself to, you know, do whether it's how much you can do, what you're capable of doing, how you can be, you know, how present you can be, all of that sort of stuff. But have you got a plan?
Less plan than you think I would have suffering through this much anxiety. You know, I will give a shout out to psilocybin mushrooms. They have helped me in this process of calming the anxiety. I would say microdosing is fantastic as far as like calming this, because there was moments where really like eating me up alive. I think a lot of it has to do with, we got an event coming later this month. I'm turning 40. I'm buying a new house that I close on a week from the time mm-hmm. we're recording this. I close on my other house a week after that. And so there's a lot going on, but more so it's just like, you know, this feels like a real opportunity. I think you get kind of stuck in your routine, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a common thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Making change can be hard because you have this routine. You see the same shit every day. So I do have the benefit of, we're literally moving house in a week. And so like in that process, I'm going to wake up in a different city. I'm going to wake up in a different environment every single day. And I have the opportunity to redefine what those habits are, what those motions are. Atomic Habits would tell you to, you know, habit stack, right? And so now I have this whole new canvas on which I can paint a new lifestyle. I can habit stack a new lifestyle into a completely different environment. And so I do think I have the benefit of that happening while this, I don't know what to call it. It doesn't, 40 isn't like, it's not something I'm thinking a lot about, but it does feel like a mile marker. It does feel like the crest of the mountain as you turn, you know, turn to the back half of the race, if you will. And so like, plan. No, John, I don't have a plan. I think a lot of this is probably something many listeners can relate to, is like, I know exactly what to do. There's no question in my mind that I know exactly what to do in the two areas, in health and in business, that I think would be, make a big step function difference. I think I've always known what to do. And I bet a lot of people listening to this can also relate to that, of like, it's always been there. It's not like I don't know where I'm going or what I should be doing, but I'm actively choosing not to do it. This is where I felt incongruence when I talked to Scott and we mapped some of that stuff out. And I kind of want to know what happens if I just do it. If I'm just, you know, as we talk about in business, can you be consistent for, you know, a period of time? What does that look like in health? What does that look like in the areas of business where I want to make some, like, I want to truly want to change the world, right? And so I haven't, as we're recording this on the 2nd, I haven't actually mapped this out for when this comes out on the 11th, but I think that's it's slowly coming together in my mind. I think there are some end goals that I'd like to get to. Some of those sound cheesy to even say out loud, but like, I think removing 100 pounds from this body would be great next year. I think I'd really like to hit $1 million in profit in a year. I think that'd be a really cool goal to hit moving forward. And so, you know, as we've worked through in previous episodes here of dreamlining and believing in things like that, I think I believe easily those things are possible. Mm. In fact, I've lost 100 pounds twice in my life before. There's a fun fact about BK. Lost end game. There you go. That's a achievement. And then, you know, same with the business. Like, I've met people making that kind of money and they're nothing special. I think we have the tools and pieces in place to do that. But more needs to be built. And it's more just like, I don't know how to say it. It's like stepping into a version of me I already know exists. I've sat in it before. I've written it out in a notebook before. I've called it Perfect Ben, which is hilarious. But I've already seen this. I've seen it in my mind's eye. I've done the vivid vision. I've done all of the things. And now it does feel like, my old man would always say, shit or get off the pot. It feels like a moment. Event horizon. Is that the right term? It feels like the moment where I need to make this decision. And then I'm here. I've arrived.
Hmm. Cool.
Are there things in your life that you know you should be doing, John, that you just don't do?
I think I think probably not so much things that I know I should be doing that I'm not doing at all. Probably it's more a consistency thing, which is kind of the same thing. Like, I mean, some things, if you don't do them consistently, you're better. Like, it's essentially the same as not doing them almost, because it's the consistency that drives the progress. And so I think, you know, I do a lot of things. I do most of the things that I know I should be doing, but there definitely are things, whether it's in business or personally, like in my personal life, that I don't do consistently enough. Even though I know that consistency is where the magic, if you like, happens. And it's, I say consistency all the time. Like, people who listen to this podcast, we say that probably ad nauseum. You've just got to consistently do the work. You know, and saying it's easy, doing it sure as shit ain't easy, right? And so I think that's probably for me, that, you know, where I'm at is that's probably what I try to work on the most is I don't introduce new things until I can consistently do the things that I'm already doing. Do you know what I mean? If I get to a point where I'm doing something consistently, then I might add to that. And maybe try and take it to the next level or introduce something new into my life or business or whatever. But I think, you know, I'm curious, the anxiety that you're experiencing around this stuff, is that because of down to like a time factor, or is it more the enormity of the challenge that causes you anxiety? Because I'm just trying to think about it. Because like from where I am to where I think I could be as well is like a big jump. Regardless of where I started and where I've got to now, which was also a big jump, I can still see a big jump in front of me. And, you know, similar age, and I don't know. It's probably going to take a while to do that big jump. And so I'm just curious, like what drives the anxiety for you?
I wish I could put a finger on it. I actually didn't even know it was anxiety. I was feeling a feeling through my chest that was like engulfing my throat. And this sounds weird. I see colors, John. It's fucking weird. But it was like, it was like a wave of color coming off. It's weird. I know. But it was like a wave of color coming out. It was like coming up through my chest. And I like described it to a few people and they're like, oh, that's anxiety. And I was like, that's what people have been going on about. Like, yeah, this sucks. If that's what they've been going on about, like, I feel for you now. And so like, I didn't really know what it was. And I just sat down with my wife and we just kind of talked it through, and that's where we really nailed in on the incongruence and ET, the hip hop preacher, one of his famous lines is like, have you ever looked in the mirror and told yourself you let you down? Like, that shit hits home. You know what I mean? Of like, I'm so good at showing up where I need to show up for people. and again, I can't lie, which is weird, but I'm okay letting myself down. I'm okay not showing up for me as long as I show up for everybody else. I'm fine with that. And so like, it was more of that like realization of seeing what it could look like if I didn't. Like, what could this milestone look like if I, again, lived my life a little bit differently or very differently than I did have the first 40 years. And I feel like I've sat in that reality through vivid vision, through meditation, and really looked at what I'm capable of, and then seeing the delta between what I'm capable of and what I'm currently doing, and knowing that it's simply a choice. It's literally a choice to just take different actions throughout the day. There's no information I need. There is no motivation I need. There's literally just discipline of making the choice and sticking to those actions. And seeing that it's just a choice is relieving in some ways. It feels good to know it's just a choice, but also it's like, the heaviness of that choice, I think, is where the anxiety is coming from.
I guess
if I make that choice, I have to do all of these fucking things, or I can just, you know, it, like some days it feels like, man, it would be nice to just be that blissfully ignorant 40-year-old that you mentioned before, just drinking beers and going to the, you know what I mean? Working a job they hate and having a family they dislike and going up to the cabin, drinking some beers with the boys. And like some days that sounds peaceful. But I've seen this now and I can't unsee it. And so this is why we tell people to do vivid vision. This is why we tell them to dreamline, as we did in the last episode. It's like, once you see it, you will never be able to shake it. It will eat you alive until you actually take action on these things. And so I've seen this. It scares the fucking shit out of me. But again, if I don't do it, I'm going to regret it forever. And so I have to.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear tied up in that choice as well. Like making sure. That choice, do you know what I mean? Like that big choice. And I agree, you're right. Once you see what's possible, you can't unsee it. So once you make the choice to leave the, you know, like where you are, your old life, if you like, and you see that, oh, and you start to get the idea that, oh, I actually am capable of something completely different, being a completely different person, living my life in a completely different way. Once you start to see that, you can't unsee it. So anybody who's listening, you can't go back once you see it. And Ben's right. It will eat you. Every day that you're not doing something to progress yourself towards where you know you can be. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I have days where like I'm floating around in my pool at my house and I'm just like, man, it'd be fucking awesome just to hook into a six pack of beer and just sit here and float away and get drunk and feel awesome for about 4 hours until the next day. You know, and just do that every day. And but you can't. You can't go back to that. Like, that would be horrible. I can imagine, like, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I think going back to, like, kind of how I think about that is, like, because I think I have the same thing. I don't think I get the anxiety or anything as such, but, like, the mountain still feels enormous, you know, even at the point where, you know, I've got to with business and a level of success that a lot of people who haven't started yet would probably think is really good. Like, and that feels like a massive mountain to get to there. And it was in a lot of ways, the mountain's still massive. But I think one of the ways I deal with that is just by like seeing the footsteps each day. Do you know what I mean? Like having those markers of progress. We talked about with the vivid vision, with the dreamlining, going back those last couple of episodes once again, kind of helps with that. I think if you don't see any progress, it would feel real shit to see that big thing. But like it's never perfect. You know what I mean? Like I don't even know if you ever fully make the decision or make the choice. Yeah, to me, it's just such a gradual process that I think, I don't know. It's fucking wild how different people deal with the same thing or think about the same thing.
I mentioned in a previous episode that, you know, the language stuff fascinates me and that I was using absolutes. This feels like another absolute. And often most choices in my life have felt that way. I'm either all in or all out. I'm not much of like a dip my toe in kind of guy. And sure. So like, I think the weight of this decision feels that heavy because it is such a switch. It is such a big switch to flip that it's not like, okay, I'm going to do this one thing tomorrow. And when that works out for 2 weeks, I'm going to do this other thing. And like, that's just not me in any way, shape or form. And so this just feels, the gravity of it feels large. I think also, you know, my kid just turned 3. I think having a kid will do some of this stuff to you too. Just like looking at them and being like, holy shit. Like, you were this little ball of nothing to turn into an absolute fucking weirdo who's got like a personality, like they're half baked out of the box, you know, and just like, I want to see what happens. I want to be around a really long time to see what that child turns into. And same with, you know, I've got a couple stepkids that I've helped raise for 6-7 years and I want to see what they turn into. And so, yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about the anxiety, John. I just feel like it's a big choice that's been weighing on me. And I'm sure this is not what people tuned in to hear when they saw whatever we named this, BK turns 40. But I wanted to be vulnerable. I wanted to like show people that no matter where you are, there's still things that you're struggling with. And this one for me, again, I really hope the people listening to this don't just go, how ungrateful. Like, look where you are. And that's not where I am. Like, that is not what I'm shooting for here at all. Like, I worked my face off to get where I am here. But I also know that like that was about 20% of what I'm capable of. And that should make you really sick when you're listening to this of like, because about 20% of what you're capable of could get you here too. And that's the truth. Like you just need to put in the work. But now it's like a true step function in work. Like a whole lot of discipline needs to come into my life. And you know, I don't need to be Goggins. I don't need to be Jocko. But I've clearly outlined in my mind what it looks like, and I think I'm ready to make that choice. And I hope by the time this comes out 9 days from now that this gets good feedback from people listening to this, and they learn something from this, or if not, they just see someone being vulnerable that they look up to. And if you want to come root me along on that challenge, I'd appreciate the cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.